So you open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. We're looking at the whole month on faithfulness, standing fast in our faithfulness. I found out even today, this morning, I'm glad God's faithful. Because I'm not always faithful. And if you be honest, you're not always faithful. But God never changes. God is always faithful. And I'm just so glad He is. In Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 22, I guess we can start. It says, "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful, the promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching." Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for just this text. We thank You, Father, for the subject, the topic of faithfulness, Lord. And we're just going to try to learn a little bit about that this morning, Father. We have a whole month, though, that we're going to looking at it, and I pray, Lord, You direct my steps, You direct my thoughts through the Word of God. And I pray this morning, Lord, that You just work in our hearts, Father. There's somebody, and probably all of us, that need to understand a little bit more about Your faithfulness and how to be faithful and just what faith is. So, Lord, I pray You just work in our hearts today. Thank You so much for who You are, Lord, and please bless this time together. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I just titled the message, Finding Faithfulness. Finding Faithfulness. When we look in the text here, it says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith." Just trusting in the Lord, you know, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, the Word of God. Then it says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith, that we would trust in Him who is faithful," the promise, it says. You know, God just never moves. He never changes. We need that rock. We need that stability in our lives. And we look to Him with our faith in the faith. And it says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." And that's why we're here this morning, not only to hear the preaching, but the fellowship and rubbing up against each other a little bit and provoking each other to good works and to the love that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we come to church. So if you're here this morning, you're here because God is faithful. Someone may have not been faithful this morning to you. And maybe you haven't been faithful to someone else, but God is faithful and you're here today. And we can be thankful that our God is faithful and He wants us to be faithful. And it's just a wonderful thing to know that we can be faithful to the One who's always faithful. Now we're going to hear that a lot, but finding faithfulness is simply looking to the Lord. It's simply looking to Jesus Christ. You know, what do we look for more in people than anything else? If we were honest about it, if we didn't realize it or not, it's faithfulness. We're always looking for somebody that we can depend on, somebody that we can trust, somebody who's honest. And many times it takes a while to find that out, if a person is faithful. And it should be that way. It should be, because that word itself commands an inspection of someone's life. And watching what they do, and it demands a lasting nature in someone. If someone is faithful, they'll just be faithful all the time. They'll just do the same things all the time. So we look for people to be faithful. That's what we're looking at in people, not to be distrusting and not honest with us. And maybe they're here today, but they're not there tomorrow. You can trust in them today, but not tomorrow. Really, we're looking for people to be faithful. And the very word faithful commands inspection and watching in a person's life if they are faithful. Hey, how many of you would like to buy a car and you never test drove it? You never even sat in it. You never even turned the key. You wouldn't do that. You know, so when we look at someone's life, when God looks at us, He's looking at our lives to see if we're faithful. You know, there's a natural event that occurs in California. It's called Old Faithful. It's a geyser, and every 30 minutes, visitors to Old Faithful are treated to an eruption of steam and scalding water spraying some 60 to 100 feet in the air. And there are only two other old faithful geysers in the world that have earned that title due to their regular eruptions. I mean, every 30 minutes, Old Faithful just erupts with steam. You just know it's going to happen. People just wait there. And in about 30 minutes, boom, it goes off. It's faithful. That's what they call it, Old Faithful. You know, there's other things that you expect to be faithful and other things that you count on, and some things maybe you don't count on, but they always seem to be faithful. You know, how about time? Just time is faithful. Just tick, tick, tick. The clock just keeps right on going. You know, time just keeps marching on, doesn't it? You know, sometimes we try to hide from things that are coming up in the future, or we're nervous about things and that are going to take place. But we can't hide from anything. Time just keeps marching on because it's faithful. It just keeps going. How about the water from the faucet? When you turn the faucet on, you want the water to come out, right, Lily? You want it to be faithful. You want the water to come out. How about that neighbor's dog that barks at 6 a.m. every day? You don't really want him to be faithful, but it just seems like he's barking every morning, 6 a.m. Hey, the sun and the moon every day are in their courses. They're faithful. You get up and the sun's up. Sometimes in Ireland you don't see the sun for a while, but it's still there. You expect a preacher to be prepared with a sermon, don't you? You expect them to be faithful. It's things that we expect. The stars in their courses. How about the bills that come every month? They're faithful. You don't want them to be, but they are. When you flick the switch, the lights come on. You want it to be faithful. You just want it to happen the same way all the time. You know, they have in America, some other countries have what they call aircraft carriers. And there's some 80 combat aircraft on those ships, and some 6,000 men and women who are deployed on those ships all around the world. And you know, they can launch an aircraft, about a 20-ton aircraft, fully armed, in about 1.3 seconds. It leaves the deck of that aircraft carrier at 140 miles an hour. And then it has to land on that little postage stamp in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean or wherever it's at. It has to land and it has to hit one of four wires. That tail hook has to hit and that plane has to stop. It has to be faithful. That gear has to work every single time. When it doesn't, you not only lose the pilot, you lose a life, possibly, if he doesn't bail out in time or eject, and you lose a $40 million aircraft, and who knows what else. But it has to be faithful. You pick up the phone and the dial tone, and you're glad it's faithful. All these things. You know, everything I just mentioned, though, can and will fail or cease to be absolutely consistently faithful. All those things that I mentioned, even the stars and the sun and the moon someday will melt with a fervent heat when God makes a new heaven and a new earth. But God Almighty will never fail you. He will always be faithful. He is faithfulness. He will never cease to be absolutely perfect and consistent and constant. Faithfulness just means firmness and stability and steady, truth, loyalty. We would expect a husband or a wife to be faithful in their vows and their covenants and their promises to each other and their affection to each other. The word itself is a noun. The reason I looked it up is because I didn't understand faithfulness. It has to be something. I mean, I want to be faithful, but am I in a state of faithfulness? I had to understand what the word meant. And it's a noun is a person, place, or thing. The only thing I could think of or person was God. God is in a state of faithfulness all the time. He has faithfulness. And when we speak of God's faithfulness, we're speaking of something that never changes. Only God is always and absolutely faithful. He is faithfulness. So this whole month we're going to look at faithfulness. And the word faithfulness uses some 19 times in the Bible. But not once in the New Testament. Not once it's used in the New Testament. It seems we have to search the Scriptures and we find that this attribute is ascribed to the Lord 17 of those 19 times. And twice it's attributed to men. One good and one's bad. Let me just read to you. 1 Samuel 26:23 says, "The Lord rendered to every man his righteousness and his faithfulness. For the Lord delivered thee into my hand today, but I would not stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed." That was David when he had the opportunity to take Saul out. You remember in the cave there. So here David deals righteously with Saul, and he trusts he has dealt faithfully with God's anointed by not taking his life when he had the opportunity. And that's what David's saying. The Lord rendered to every man his righteousness and his faithfulness. David knew that he had been faithful in that cave and done the right thing. hopefully we will also do the right thing, and God can render unto us our faithfulness. But in Psalm chapter 5, verse 9, it says, "For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue." You know, many times we have deceitful words. Many times the enemies of God, obviously, have deceitful words, and they flatter with their tongue. This is talking about David's enemies. He says, "There is no faithfulness in their mouth." So we can be in that state also. We can also have a lack of faithfulness in our lives. So faithfulness, it's just the state of our God. He's always true. He's loyal. He alone is the promise keeper and the covenant keeping God. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9 says, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations." That's faithfulness, and that's our God. Finding faith. Turn to James chapter 1. Finding faithfulness. Verse 17. The Bible says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Unchanging. Is a God that gives every good and perfect gift, both physical and spiritual. All the best and most complete gifts come from God. Every perfect gift is from above. And it cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness. That means He's absolutely unchanging. He is always the same. The Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Aren't you glad you have a God that is absolutely faithful, that you can count on? God is never late. He's seldom early, and usually right on time. I heard that from a preacher say that once. And it's true. He's never late. We may think He's late, but then we find out later His timing was absolutely perfect. Amen. Not once can you charge God that He was a second too late, that He did something a little bit wrong. He's just always faithful. He's someone that we can trust in. And if you want to find true faithfulness, we must look to God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Absolutely faithful. Let's look at some scriptures now. I'm going to run through the book of Psalms. We're going to start in Psalm 36. So you're going to have to wet your fingers, though we're just going to keep turning to the right. I've kind of lined them up here. But the whole Bible in the Old Testament speaks of God's faithfulness. Psalm 36:5. Just kind of laying the groundwork for a whole month of preaching on faithfulness. And may preach on men, women, homes, servants. I don't know. All these things are flooding into my mind, but I just know that God wants us to be faithful, and that we have a God who dwells in faithfulness. In Psalm 36, verse 5, it says, "Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and Thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds." God's faithfulness is so far-reaching, it's almost unbelievable that He never fails and He never forgets. Psalm 40, verse 10. Psalm 40, verse 10. David says, "I have not hid Thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared Thy faithfulness and Thy salvation. I have not concealed Thy loving kindness and Thy truth from the great congregation." And teens, you know that was one of the verses from youth camp. You guys both could stand up there and quote it. I know you could, but I won't call on you because I really don't know it all yet either. But you know what it says there? David said, "I have declared Thy faithfulness and Thy salvation." You know, I must tell others of God's great faithfulness. You may have children or grandchildren, and you need to tell them of God's great faithfulness. Amen. You know, I can't wait till I'm not just looking on Skype in December, and I go home and I can hold some of my grandchildren. It just overwhelmed me that I could tell them how good God is. I could just say, "Hey, Dwayne, you know God's always faithful. He just had his vacation Bible school. And I just want to hold him on my lap and just tell him about God. And I just tell him how good He's been to me and how faithful He's been." I just have to tell others. You know, in Psalm 40, look in verses 1 through 3, it says, David says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Then verse 10, I have not hid thy what? Thy faithfulness. Why? Because he's done so much for me. He's done so much for you. How can we not tell others about God's faithfulness in our lives? How good he's been to us. David said, I just have to tell them. I just have to tell them how good God is. Psalm 88. Psalm 88, verse 11. Shall thy loving kindness be declared in the grave, or thy faithfulness in destruction? We're going to have time when we're in the grave. Are we going to shout it out then? How about in faithfulness and destruction? Now's the time to tell people about how faithful God is. It doesn't matter whether you're telling another Christian and just sharpening iron and encouraging, or going out and telling the lost world just how good God is and how faithful God is, and that they'll just believe in His Son, that He will save them. He will save them because God is faithful. Keep your finger in Psalms and just turn to John chapter 9. Jesus backs this whole thing up and just kind of undergirds that whole thinking when he talks about the blind man here in chapter 9, in verse 1. John chapter 9, and in verse 1 it says, And as Jesus passed by, he saw a blind man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. There's just going to come a time when you can't tell anybody anymore. You're going to be in heaven. You'll have your reward. But we need to tell others about the faithfulness of God. The night's coming. In fact, it could come real soon for the church. We could be raptured today. You say, that's a wonderful thing. And it is. It's a blessed thing. But you won't be able to tell your lost loved ones anymore. You won't be able to tell them about Jesus anymore. You won't be able to pray one prayer for your lost brother or sister anymore. So let's tell them of God's faithfulness today. Today. Psalm 89, verse 1. Like in Psalm 89, verse 1 says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. You know that song. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. Look at verse 5. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. Verse 8. O Lord of God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? And in verse 24, it says, But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. Just talking about declaring the faithfulness of God where? In the church. In the church. When we sing to God in the hymns, we're singing to God, we're declaring His faithfulness. We ought to declare His faithfulness in the congregation of the saints, right here amongst each other. We ought to be praising His name and just saying how good God is and how faithful He has been. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. With my mouth I will make known thy faithfulness to all generations in the church. Psalm 92, 2. Psalm 92, well, look in verse 1. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. You know, when you pillow your head at night, you can say, God, you've been faithful again today. You've been the same today as you were yesterday, and you'll be the same tomorrow. We can count on our God. He's always faithful, and it's good to praise Him at the end of the day. Psalm 119, verse 75. I thought about taking some of these out, but I can't. They're all too good. Psalm 119, verse 75 says, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hath afflicted me. Wow. You know, God doesn't change when He chastises you. God's still faithful. You know, when God allows something to come into your life, it's for your good. He hasn't changed one bit. He still loves you the same. And God doesn't necessarily bring all those trials in our life. He allows them sometime. But even in the midst of the the trial. God is working, being faithful. Aren't you glad you got a rock you can just hold on to today? Aren't you glad you can hold on to the horn of the altar today? The strength of the Lord Jesus Christ in His faithfulness. I tell you, there's times at night, you know, when you're just all by yourself, you're thinking somebody could be in the other room or people could be all around you, but in your heart you're saying, man, I'm glad God's faithful. I'm glad God hasn't changed. I'm glad I can run to the rock and I just hold on to Him and He's always the same. Verse 90 says, Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth and it abideth. He's always faithful, loving, and just in everything that happens in our life. Psalm 143. And in verse 1, Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In Thy faithfulness, answer me. And in Thy righteousness. God hears our prayers. Aren't you glad about that? Aren't you glad God hears your prayer for your lost loved one? That He hasn't given up on them? That He still cares? That He's still faithful? And He answers our prayers. And you know what? God won't let you down. God will answer that prayer. God will answer that prayer. Isaiah chapter 25. Just keep turning to the right. Isaiah chapter 25. I'm just trying to tell you about God and His faithfulness. In chapter 25, verse 1, O Lord, Thou art my God. I will exalt Thee. I will praise Thy name, for Thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. The Word of God is absolutely unchanging. We have a Bible that is absolutely perfect and holy, inerrant and infallible. And it's inspired. Aren't you glad you have the Word of God that's unchanging? Hold your finger here and turn to Hebrews chapter 6. Look at this. Hebrews chapter 6. Nothing like the Bible to find out more about the Bible. Amen. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 17. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. And we could go on reading there, but it says, God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, two unchanging things, and they are His counsel and His oath, His word and His character. God confirmed it by an oath, confirmed it upon His own virtue and character and holiness, that His word is unchanging. Today you have the word of God in your hand. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Don't run to some self-help book. Run to the word of God. It's been faithful throughout all the generations. It's unchanging because our God is faithful, so is His Word, and it is truth. I was talking to a young man yesterday, probably for 40 minutes, at the door. And he said, it was, in so many words, he said it was like a breath of fresh air had come to his door. Young man, only 21 years old. He said he had asked priests and other people so many times about creation and where do babies go when they die and just all the questions that people have about different things. And he said, some of them answered a question, but they didn't tell him why they believed that. I said, you know, I could tell you where babies go when they die. And I believe they go to heaven. And here's why. And I quoted scripture to him. I said, I wouldn't tell you that babies go to heaven just because I'd like you might want to hear that. That might be something that would appeal to you. Oh, you say, he's a good guy because he said babies go to heaven. I'll tell you, babies go to heaven because I think the Bible tells us that. I believe that the Bible tells us that. That there is an age of accountability that they don't understand, and that there is an age that they're accountable to sin. And I just believe I'm standing on the truth. You see, when you go to, and you can tell somebody and answer their questions from these counsels of old that are faithfulness and truth, all you have to do is tell them the truth. And you just stand back and stand on the rock of truth. God's faithfulness is His Word. And people really want to hear the truth. It's like a breath of fresh air that somebody could just tell them the truth. And actually, he says, well, you're a good speaker. I said, all I'm doing is trying to tell you what the Bible said. So I guess what he meant by that is that I was able to answer some questions. You can do the same thing. You understand your Bible. You can tell somebody about Jesus Christ, and they may say the same thing to you. It's just that people are been so bombarded by lies and all the errors that the world throws at them and Satan's darts that is cast at them and keeping them blinded in their minds, that when they finally hear truth, it's just so refreshing to them to hear the truth. And I gave him my testimony, and I'm hoping that Connor comes out. I'm hoping that we see him come to church. He was just glad to hear the Word of God, and he was glad that there, you know, he didn't know it, but they were glad that there were faithfulness and truth. That's what we have in our hands today. Lamentations, just keep turning to the right. Lamentations, right after Jeremiah, you know this verse of Scripture, Lamentations 3, and verse 22. Lamentations 3, and in verse 22, it says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. And you know, if you're here today and you're unsaved, it's of the Lord's mercies that there's still grace in the world today for you to be saved. Because if Jesus came back today, we would enter a time of the tribulation shortly thereafter when God's wrath will be poured out upon this world. But I tell you, today's the day of salvation. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. Ready with new mercies every day. Every day God's the same. Let me just read you Hosea 2:20 says, I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. God loves His people. God's going to bring Israel back to Himself. God loves Israel. God loves His people. So I'm just saying, it's only God who's faithful and abides or dwells in faithfulness. But it's something for us to reach forward to. That's really my message. It's something for us to reach forward to be faithful, and something to attain. It's a good virtue to have in our lives, that we're dependable, faithful disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. For us here, it's a condition we should long to see ourselves in. To be stable, loyal, dependable, to keep our promises, to fulfill our vows and be true. What a difference faithfulness could make in our families, in our church, even in the nation of Ireland, nations all over the world, if Christians were faithful. They turned the world upside down without a computer and without phones. They turned the world upside down. If we would just be faithful to our God, what could we do in Ireland? It's something that we should be striving for in our Christian lives, all of us. I want to look at the words in the word faithfulness in the time that we have left. And they are, inside the word faithfulness is the word faithful, and inside that word is the word faith. So first, to be faithful, something that we can attain to now. We can be faithful, trustworthy, dependable, consistent. This is an adjective that describes what a person is or isn't. You can be faithful or unfaithful. It means you can be true to your spouse, or you can be unfaithful. You can be true in your vows, you can be unfaithful in your vows. You can be true to your ministry and faithful servant of God, or you can be an unfaithful servant of God. You have that choice. But to be faithful is to be the same way when the lights are off as well as when the lights are on. Faithful is what you are when no one's around to watch. You know what it says in John chapter 3, verse 19, men love darkness. They didn't want the light, because it exposed their sins. Who are you when no one's around? What's in your heart now? God knows. Who are you when the lights are on? And then who are you when the lights are off and you're all alone? That's a faithful person. That's a faithful servant. God knows. God knows our hearts. This is the way God is leading me to preach, really, for these upcoming weeks. I just want to look at these and just make a comment. Again, we're going to be going from left to right. I've tried to line them up. Proverbs 17:17. Proverbs 17:17. Now we're going to look at the word faithful, just to be faithful. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 17 says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Chapter 18, verse 24. Chapter 18, verse 24 says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Chapter 27, verse 6. One of my favorite verses in the Proverbs. Proverbs 27, verse 6 says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." We ought to think about becoming a faithful friend. A faithful friend. Someone that somebody can depend on. Somebody that's there when they need you. And that you're there when someone needs you. Just being a faithful friend. Let me ask you a question. You can answer it in your own heart. Do you have a faithful friend? Think about it. Do you have one faithful friend? If you do, you are sitting on a gold mine. Do you have somebody that you can call that will give you counsel, that will talk with you, and that will bear your burden, that will pray with you? Do you have somebody like that? If you don't, you ought to ask God to give you one, but you ought to be one. A man that hath friends must showeth himself friendly. Many people don't want to show themselves friendly and wonder why they have no friends. Well, we need to be friendly. We need to be outgoing. We need to be someone else's faithful friend, and God will give us a faithful friend. But if you have a faithful friend, you ought to count yourself very blessed of the Lord. Matthew 25. So you can be a faithful friend. Matthew 25:21. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Just being a faithful friend. I mean, a faithful servant. And God has given us some talents and some abilities to use for His glory. Are you using them? Are you using them in the church? Are you serving in the ministry? Are you being a faithful servant? Or are you just sitting on your talents? I want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's what I want to hear when I get to glory. More than anything else, I'm just a servant of God. But whatever talents God's given you, you ought to use them. You need to use them for the glory of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Keep turning to the right. Talking about being faithful. True. 1 Corinthians, yeah, chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2 says, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and the stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." That a man be found faithful. This is just a faithful steward. You know, it's not just for preachers, not just for pastors or missionaries or evangelists or anybody to stand up in front and preach is for everyone. We have a gospel to preach. And we've all been commanded to preach the gospel to every nation, wherever God puts you. We need to be a faithful steward of the mysteries of God. You know some things that maybe the world doesn't know. You know how Jesus can save. And we need to tell them. So we need to be a faithful steward and take care of that and take it out to a lost world. And we have a Bible to teach. We ought to be teaching our children and teaching our families, men, about Jesus Christ and about God. We need to be faithful. God says we ought to be a faithful friend, a faithful servant, a faithful steward. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5:22 says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." It doesn't say faithful in there, does it? It doesn't. But the wives are to submit to their own husbands as unto the Lord. We should keep our vows, cherish our vows. And a husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. Is Christ faithful to the church? He certainly is. And if we're going to love our wives the way Christ loved the church, we're going to have to be faithful. And we're going to have to cherish our vows and keep our vows and be the kind of husband or wife that God wants us to be. We ought to be a faithful wife or husband. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Just keep turning to the right. A couple books there. You'll find Colossians. In verse 2, Colossians 1, verse 2, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what we ought to be? A faithful church. We ought to be a faithful church in our fellowship, in our care for each other, in our prayers for each other, in our love for each other. Paul's writing to the church here and he says, to the saints and faithful brethren. Boy, the pastor could write to this church and say, to the saints and faithful brethren back at Bible Baptist Church, that we were just being faithful. That we were faithful church members, caring and loving and praying for each other and fellowshipping with each other. I tell you, God wants us to be faithful church members. Look at chapter 4 and verse 7. Colossians 4, 7 says, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They shall make known unto you all the things which are done here. Just being a faithful brother in the Lord. I would just like people to know that I want to be faithful, that I would live my life, that I would be faithful, that I would have a title that someone would say, he's a faithful man. That's what I want to have before God. I believe it honors the Lord. And God's looking at the church. And Paul's looking here as he talks to the church there, and he says, Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother. He's just been with Paul, and he's been serving the Lord and just taking the yoke upon him. And together they've been serving God. And that's what we ought to all want to be, just faithful brothers in the Lord. Trustworthy, sincere, honest, caring toward each other. That's what this church ought to be with each other. Faithful in the Lord. Faithful brothers in the Lord. Faithful sisters in the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Some of these we'll be going into in more depth in the weeks ahead, as I want to expand on them and see, you know, how we can learn from the Bible about how to be faithful in different areas of our life. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Do you want to be a faithful disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, do you want to be a faithful disciple that someone would want to commit the things that of the Bible, the Scriptures, to you, because they knew that you would be a doer of the Word, that you were a faithful man? Because that's what Paul's saying. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men. Find men that are faithful, that are honest and doers of the Word of God. John 8:31 talks about that. Then Jesus said unto the Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in my Word, ye are my disciples indeed. It's faithful men who have been taught the Word of God, learned the Word of God, studied the Word of God, and then lived the Word of God. A faithful disciple. Somebody, I would love for somebody to want to commit something to me because they thought that I was going to be faithful with it and teach someone else. You see, that's a faithful man that we ought to be. That's what Jesus was telling those Jews which believed on Him. If you continue my Word, people who are going to be faithful, someone that another could see and they could commit the things of God to. You know yourself, you could look around maybe and say, well, maybe there's some men here that I know I could commit the Word of God to, because it would be precious unto them. And they would take it and they would try to live it out in their lives, and they would commit it to somebody else. And maybe there's others you wouldn't feel so confident about. I would want to be a person who somebody would say, you can commit that to Dan because he's going to try to teach that to someone else. I mean, make this personal for yourself. You want to be a faithful man, a faithful disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, verse 6. It says, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. You ought to want to be a faithful child. You ought to want to be a faithful child. You know, obedient, trusting, believing. He's talking about the character traits here of a preacher, of a pastor. And you ought to have children, faithful children. Shouldn't we also have faithful children? Shouldn't all of us desire to have faithful children? Shouldn't a child desire to be faithful, obedient, and trusting, and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ? Children that are yielded, not wild and rebellious, not accused of riot or unruly. Shouldn't you want to be a faithful child? I think so. Not rebellious or insubordinate. Let me ask you something. Are you saved today? Are you a faithful child in that way? Have you come to the faith? Have you asked Christ to save you? Are you here today? And do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Because unless you are, you can't be a faithful child. Because it carries with it the idea of just being saved. You're somebody's child. You're here today. You're somebody's child. Are you saved? Are you a faithful child? You know, there's a lack of faithful men today. Turn back to Psalm chapter 1. We want to be faithful, but we have to do something about it. We have to put the Word of God into action. And today there's such a lack of faithfulness. You want to be able to count on people to do the right thing all the time, but they just don't. And in Psalm chapter 12, in verse 1, it says, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth." Psalm chapter 12, I'm sorry, I didn't tell you. Psalm 12, verse 1. "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men." You just can't find a godly man today. I mean, they're few and far between. "And the faithful fail from among the children of men." Why is the church lacking in power? We're just not faithful. We're not faithful in prayer. We're not faithful reading our Bible. We're not faithful to witness. And that reason being is we're probably not godly, living godly lives. We have no desire for the things of God. Help, Lord! We need some help. We have to run to the rock, the one who is faithful. Say, "Lord, I'm not a godly man. I'm not being faithful, but I want to be." If you truly want to be. There's a lack of faithful men today. In Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. Verse 6 says, "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find?" That's a shame, isn't it? A faithful man who can find? Would it be that hard to find faithful men in our church here? It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. Look at Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs 11:13. "An unfaithful man will be a talebearer." It says in verse 13, "A talebearer reveals secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter." I mean, you ought to be able to tell somebody something and let them hold that in strict confidence if that's what you so desire. Sometimes we get the idea that only women gossip. Where'd you get that from? "A talebearer reveals secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter." He. Men are gossipers. We just clothe it in a prayer request. And that's a shame. If someone commits something to you in confidence, you shouldn't be a talebearer. Keep it. Bear the burden yourself. Be able to be trusted, not a gossiper, and not unfaithful. Look at Proverbs 13, verse 17. It says, "A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health." Chapter 14, verse 5 says, "A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies." Chapter 25, verse 13. 25:13 says, "As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters." We realize we have an important message to convey to people. And the faithful man will preach the right message and tell the truth. You know, you find the opposite in Proverbs chapter 10. Look at Proverbs chapter 10 in verse 26. You find just the opposite. It's help when a man comes. Glad it's not keeping me going. But we want to be faithful and bring the message, be a faithful messenger. Look, I'm a missionary to Ireland. There's a church back there that sent me, First Baptist Church of Southern in New Jersey, and there's other churches that are supporting me. One of the greatest responsibilities I feel is that I owe those people. They are putting their hard-earned money into this ministry so that I might be a faithful messenger of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I take that very seriously, because I give to missions and I expect those men and women to be doing what they've been called to do, to be faithful messengers. I don't need vinegar on the teeth and smoke to the eyes. It's just an irritant to me if they're nothing but a sluggard. They're not carrying the message. They're unfaithful messengers, but they're out there. They're out there. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 20. I'm going to run through these now. Time is flying here. Proverbs 28:20 says, "A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent." A faithful man will just trust in God for his needs and riches. You're not going to trust in, you know, the money. You're trusting in the God who provides that money for you. And that's what a faithful man will do. And a faithful servant will receive rewards in Matthew 25:23. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know, there's some examples of faithful people. Moses was faithful. You remember when Miriam and Aaron started talking bad about him because he married the Ethiopian? What was her name? I forget her name now. But God reminded Aaron and Miriam that Moses was a faithful servant of God. He said, "My servant Moses." And that he had chosen him to be his mouthpiece. So we need to remember that Moses was a faithful servant of God. And we ought to be faithful servants of God also. Daniel chapter 6. Turn to Daniel. Daniel chapter 6. It says in verse 4. Daniel 6:4. It says, "Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found in him." Daniel 6, verse 7 says, "All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions." Look at verse 10. "When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. And his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." What was Daniel doing? He was being faithful. He had a habit of praying. And he wasn't some threat from these people. It was not going to change Daniel's faithfulness to God. God, Daniel didn't change when the circumstances changed. That happens to us a lot. But he prayed, and he prayed. It was a personal thing to him to pray. It was his house. He went to his house. He opened his windows in his chamber. And he got on his knees and prayed to his God. It was a personal thing. And Daniel never stopped praying even when the circumstances changed. And when somebody tells you can't pray anymore out in the street, what are you going to do? When somebody tells you that it's okay to abort children, what are you going to believe? You're going to believe the Bible, or you're going to believe what the government tells you? It's happening all over the world. In America, they say it's okay. We're going to federally fund abortions. I don't believe in that. I know the government's over me as an authority. But when they go against God's Word, then I stand on God's Word, and I'm faithful to God. When they tell you you can't preach on the street or hand out a tract, what are you going to do? You're going to be a faithful man? You're going to be faithful to God? Daniel was looking forward to the lion's den, wasn't he? No, he wasn't. He was just being faithful to God, no matter what the circumstances. And God was faithful to him in the lion's den. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17. All of us fluctuate in our faith. Just trust in God. It's nice to see some people in the Bible that trusted God. They walked across on dry ground, you remember. God parted the Red Sea. Just trusting in the Lord. God can do those things in our life today. In Hebrews chapter 2 and in verse 17, it says, "Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." Jesus was a faithful sacrifice. Jesus felt the obligation and the duty to be our high priest and reconcile us to God. Aren't you glad? He didn't just make the sacrifice, he was the sacrifice. Those rewards of being faithful, we can be assured of God's protection. In Psalm 31, it talks about he watches over us. If we're going to be faithful, he'll watch over us. In Psalm 101:6, he keeps watch over the faithful, it says. Not to the proud doer, but to the faithful. He watches those over us. And I can serve God and I can be faithful and know that God's watching over my life. It's an honor and a privilege. And lastly, we need to have faith. We need to have faith. You know, it's found only twice in the Old Testament, but 229 times it's found in the New Testament, the word faith. I think God wants us to know about that. And faith is simply believing in an unseen God and putting your faith in an unseen God through the pages of the Bible. It's trusting in what the Bible has told us, trusting in the written Word of God. It's simply believing the Scriptures. And of this person, God, and the perfections of God, and how good God is. It's trusting in the revealed truth, the Bible. That faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's resting on the promises of God. It's trusting in what God said is true, and I can, if I believe it, and I live it out in my life, God will always be God. God will always do what's right and faithful. I just have to have the faith to believe that this is the Word of God. This is His truth to me. Our salvation and walk is by faith in Galatians chapter 3. Look in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, "O foolish Galatians." Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you: received ye the spirit of the works of the law, by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? How did you receive the Lord? Was it by works?" Paul says, no, it wasn't by works. Then why do you think you can continue by works? We're not only saved by faith, we walk by faith. You see, we're not only saved by faith, he says, but you walk by faith. You're not going to perfect your Christian life in your own flesh. You're going to have to trust God. If you're not saved here today, you're going to have to come to God by faith. You're going to have to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And those who are saved here today have to walk by faith. The Christian life is a walk of faith. Look at Galatians 2:20. Just look back in Galatians 2:20. It says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." We can only walk in the promises of God when we believe in the promises of God. Paul said, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live." The new man, the new spirit. I live inside. "Yet not I, but it's Christ's spirit that lives inside of me. And the life that I'm trying to live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." He's saying, I live by faith every day. We walk by belief in the truth, not by circumstances. We walk by faith and not by sight. We have to trust the Bible. Hebrews chapter 11 has 17 verses. By faith Noah, by faith Abraham. Over and over and over again, they just trusted God. And look what God did. I was going to look at them. We don't have time for that. You ought to read Hebrews chapter 11 and see that these were just people who trusted God. And look what God did. We can do the same. How do you become a Christian? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Someone told you how to be saved. Someone shared the gospel with you. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." There's not one person that can be baptized enough, give enough money, go to enough church services, hear enough preaching. Just being in church doesn't make you a Christian. Just like being in a garage doesn't make you a car. You have to come to Christ and be saved. Amen? There's people that sit in churches, and just because they're in church, they think they're Christians. I sat in churches when I was younger, and I wasn't a Christian. And I spent years and years and years away from God. So someone came and told me the old story about how to be saved. And I got saved. And it was by faith. I simply trusted in Jesus Christ. Let me finish in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 3. And as I read these, they'll almost be self-explanatory. I could just preface the whole thing by saying, it's not by works, it's by faith. No boasting. No one's going to go to heaven and say, "I did it. I found the bar." You want to know what the bar is? Jesus Christ. That's the standard that God is looking for. If you're as righteous as He is, you will get into heaven. But I don't think so. Because there's not one righteous, no, not one. That's what the Bible says. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, actually verse 22, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe." You see, have faith. "For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified or made right with God freely by His grace through the redemption or the forgiveness that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation or a sacrifice through faith in His blood," not faith in our works, "to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth." God is the judge. God is the one that will justify, because God is the one that is righteous. But He'll give that justification to those who will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who will put their faith in what Jesus has already done. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude, this is the end of the matter here, a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. You can't do anything to get to heaven. You must receive a gift. The gift is the Son of God who died on the cross of Calvary for your sins and for my sins, because the wages of sin is death. That is why He died there. Chapter 4, verse 1 says, "What shall we say then? That Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Abraham looked ahead to the cross. He simply put his faith in God, and it was counted unto him righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." My friend, if you're here today and you don't know Christ, you can't do enough good works. It's not of works, it's of faith. It's believing in God's Son, receiving His righteousness. Chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into His grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." It's by faith in Jesus Christ. I don't know how clear the Bible can be that it's not of works. You know how many people are falling into hell today? Thousands upon thousands and tens of thousands of people will go to hell because they think they can earn heaven, and they haven't, because you can't. And finally, in Romans chapter 10, here's what the Bible says how to be saved. In Romans chapter 10, Paul says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Okay, Paul, tell us what we got to do. He says, "I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." You see, they want to know God. They want to love God. They think they know God, but not according to the Scriptures. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. You see? That's the problem. They haven't submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. We're trying to go around and earn our way into heaven by our own righteousness, and there is none righteous. No, not one. So what do? For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Just believeth. You want to be saved today? It says in verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? I tried to preach a message about faithfulness, and you can find that in God. And Christian, you need to be faithful to your God. But if you're not saved here today, you need to come by faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Faithfulness is of God. Faithful is our goal. And faith is how to be a Christian. You need to come by faith. Let's bow our heads and pray. I want to ask you this morning, first off, please, everyone bow their heads, close their eyes. No one should be looking around. There's just no need for that. This is one of the most important times now. I would ask a simple question. If you've never put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you've never believed on Him, I would like to pray for you. I mean, I just see your hand, but God sees your heart. I would just like to pray for you. If you've never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, would you just raise your hand real quick, put it down. Real quick, just put it up, put it down. All right. Christian, I've tried to preach to you about faithfulness and our God is unchanging, but how's your life as a Christian? Are you being faithful? We're going to talk about more different areas of our life, but I want to ask you this morning, if God has spoken to your heart about some things in your life that you just want to get right and you want to be a faithful servant of God, a faithful father, a faithful husband, a faithful steward of the mysteries of God, whatever, a faithful friend, why don't you just raise your hand? If God's spoken to your heart. Amen. 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 You can put your hands down. Father, thank you for those that raise their hand. Just you've spoken to their hearts. They have some things they need to deal with just with you, Lord. But their desire is to be a faithful man or woman of God. And Lord, some didn't raise their hand, and I know that I also want to be faithful in so many areas of my life, Lord, but I'm just thankful that you're a God who is faithful all the time. And I'm just lifting these people up to you, God, and asking you to deal with them now in the days ahead. Show them those areas of their life and reveal those things to them and make it even more apparent how much you can do in their lives if they'll just trust you. And Father, no one raised their hand for salvation, but Lord, that doesn't mean there's people here that aren't saved. And all I'm asking, God, is that you would keep their heart tender. Keep that seed watered, Lord, and bring forth fruit, Father. I pray, Lord, that maybe they won't leave without talking to somebody here about being saved. And God, I pray that you'd bring them back if to hear the gospel again. And we thank you for what you're going to do. Thank you for what you've already done in our church, Lord. We thank you for this time. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.